Blog Talk Radio.
And definitely have a knack for terminology and the ability to work well under pressure.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of qualities that are also essential, such as you have to have good business sense, you have to have the proper equipment, you have to have organizational skills, and definitely never give up attitude because the market is competitive.
Now, do you know any, can you recommend to me any training programs that I could probably take if I was interested?
Career Step is the one that I took several years ago for the medical transcription. It's a very good program. That's the only one that I feel comfortable recommending right now because that's the only one that I've actually completed. You can find a link to their website on my website at kaliana.com, KALIANNAH.com.
Okay.
And that company prepares their graduates well. You know how to produce reports. Just about any medical report imaginable.
Okay. Now, what's the market like for that? You know, with the job market kind of slowing down and people losing their jobs, what is a good? Is this a good market for me if I was to get into this?
It's a good market, but it's a competitive market. You have to do a lot of research. You have to have a good typing speed. Many of the employers now require online testing to just make sure that you're efficient with what you do, that you know medical terminology, and that you'll be able to produce the kind of reports that they require.
And the golden question is, how much money will I make?
Oh, with transcription, you definitely are not going to get rich quick. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. You have to work hard at it. It takes dedication. But once you establish your clientele, you can make a comfortable living or at least supplement your daytime income transcribing for people.
Okay.
Now, it probably depends on the number of factors, including a skill, marketing techniques, and your commitment to the field.
Okay. Now, do you consider yourself a businesswoman, and why do you say that?
Yes, I'm most definitely a businesswoman because it takes a strong sense of business to be able to evaluate the need for a product, conduct research on the product, develop the product, and market the product. In my case, my product is my books. That's what it's been over the past few years. More recently, I've become a licensed real estate agent, which also requires a lot of business acumen.
Okay. Now, if I'm interested in writing and publishing, what steps should I take to get even started?
Interested in writing. It depends on if you want to self-publish or if you want your articles to. When I started first writing my articles, I submitted to various mom-related websites and work-at-home websites. That was the way I got my name out there and the quality of my writing. People could judge the quality from that, kind of build a reputation for yourself so that the publishing houses will be interested in any book proposals that you send them. That's one route. Another route would be to self-publish them yourself. It's a lot quicker. You have more control over things, how your book cover looks, how the inside of your book looks, how you market your book, how little or how much.
Okay. Now, what made you become a realtor with this market being so shaky as it is?
What made me become a realtor? I have always been interested. It's always been in the back of my mind that I would like to invest in property one day. And I figured the best way to do it was educate myself on how to do it. And that is on taking real estate classes. But along the way, I realized, well, if I take the real estate classes to better understand the area that I was interested in, I could also use that knowledge to sell property to other people and earn the money that I would need to invest in my own property.
Okay. But have you done any selling since you've gotten into the real estate business?
I've had a lot of leads and a lot of showings, but nothing that has closed.
Ah. Yeah.
So the
market...
I only do it part-time.
Okay,
That makes a big difference. When you only do it part-time and you're limited as far as the hours that you can show and...
Exactly, and that does make a big, big difference because you're not able to spend more time and concentrate on that one thing.
Exactly.
So you do work full-time right now, right?
I work full-time.
Okay.
I go to school part-time, and I do my real estate part-time. And in between, I write my books.
Okay. So I can't ask you how do you relax, huh?
No. my relaxation time is in my writing.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, I enjoy my writing, especially now that my daughter's old enough. She has her own interest, and she's not underneath mama anymore, so that's how I spend my free time writing.
Okay. Now, I understand you do charities. Now, what type of work do you do with charities, and what type of charities do you like to work with?
Well, right now, a friend of mine, Felita, and I have created a charity we hope to get off the ground called Miracle for Moms.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's targeting young single moms as a way to help them get started. That's the kind of charities that I like to support, something that's going to make a difference in the community.
Okay, very interesting.
Yeah.
okay, now, if someone wanted to purchase one of your books, how would they go about it? And let me ask you something. Did we discuss your other books? We talked about your transcription book. What were your other books? Because I'm familiar with your recipe book. Did you have another book that you wanted to discuss?
Yes, I have one more that's currently available. It's the Tasty Temptations. The recipe book is 450 family favorite recipes to tempt your taste buds. It's actually going to be available October the 4th. And it was originally something that I created as a keepsake for my college-bound daughter, and it's just, since then it's grown. I have 14 different sections in it. And I also have the Fatty Diva's Diary, and that's a 31-day inspirational weight loss companion. It's a pocket-sized companion, and it was designed for the tracking of weight loss and fitness progress.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry, I kind of got you kind of off-key there. How do you purchase your books? If I'm interested in purchasing, or if anyone's interested in purchasing your books, how would we go about doing that?
They can purchase it from my website at kaliana.com, KALIANNAH.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every online purchase is secured. And within 7 to 10 days, they should get the book in the mail.
Okay. Now, I have truly enjoyed you. I want to say thank you again, Kaliana, for taking time out of your busy schedule and to allow me to interview you tonight.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Okay, we shall talk later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That was my good friend, Kaliana. Her books are very interesting, and she's really a help to me on a lot of stuff. Whenever I get stuck on something, some situation, I know I can go to her, and she gets me out of it, especially when it comes to writing. She's very good. She's also an English major, so she eats me up on anything that I send out that does not sound right. I always make sure I get a second opinion. So she's good for something for me. Okay, next, I want to play you one of our next guests that will be on next Thursday, one of his songs from his album, and we'll hear a couple of more songs when he comes. The name of his album is called All About Girls, Songs About Girls, I'm sorry, and his name is Planet 10, and I'm proud to say that he is my son. And I will be interviewing him about his album and how he feels about the music industry, since that's something he has a passion for it. And sometimes as a mother, you don't wish they'd find something else to get involved in. Well, that's his passion. When he was young, I bought him a set of drums, and he had a keyboard, and he taught himself how to play both. So I kind of figured, okay, music must be in his blood now. So, and he's very passionate about that himself, about his music. So he finally put together a CD that I can listen to because this is a mature show. There is some cursing in some of his music, but it's much better than it used to be because I told him I refuse to play anything of his until he gets the cursing out. So he worked on it, and he's gotten it down to something I can tolerate. So I want to play one of his songs, and I would like for you guys to take some time out and call in. You know my call-in number, 347-677-1749. And give me some feedback. If you don't, if you're not able to call me, at least email me or leave a message on my page, comments to let me know how you like my show and how do you like the song that I'm about to play. Okay. Forward to next week, sitting down and interviewing my kid. That's going to be so funny, but I'm going to enjoy that still. And that's next week on Chocolate Lady 64. It's on a Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time here on Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to continue to talk the discussion As you know, we spoke with Kaliana about publishing and writing and stuff. And I would like to talk about publishing your own works. There are several different online publishing companies. I can't say which one is the best and which one will rip you off. But I will say that you truly have to read the fine print. And if you're going to get your book published by one of those online publishing companies, make sure you've done your homework. Make sure you've actually looked and they're doing exactly what you want. It's not always about them, it's about you. You have a product that is precious to you, and if you want it out there, you want it to be presented correctly. I've also had some of my books published by an online company, and it's called Lulu, LULU.com. I've been with Lulu for a while now, and I've allowed them to do several of my books. For instance, let's see, I have my book called How Does the Garden Grow? And it's, I think I earlier in my shows when I first started out, I explained the book. Lulu published the book for me. It's my book. I put it together, and I just uploaded in their application and in their program. And I love their work. It's even gotten better since I've done that book. It's much more easier. I just finished another book, a play that I did with a cousin of mine who actually also works with us. And when we were in church together, we used to do plays, and she's very good with that. So me and her got together, and we wrote one together, and I just got that published. And we're working on trying to get that actually performed next year. And I'll get with you on that, too, later on in my shows. Let's see. There's other online companies. There's CreateSpace, and it's another one, and I have an account with them, and I haven't sent anything to them yet, but I've opened an account with them because another author, her name was Arlene Braithwaite, she got me hooked or introduced me to CreateSpace. CreateSpace, CreateSpace.com. It's supposed to be pretty good. And then there's WordPress. I also have a blog with WordPress. They're good, WordPress.com. I have another account with them. I haven't uploaded anything with them, but I will soon. I'm working on some more projects that I'm trying to finish out before the year's out. I advise you to really know what you're doing if you're asking. If there's a company out there that is asking for $400 and $500, even up to $600 to $700, to publish your book, be very wary of that. Read their fine print. At one time, there was a company called Vantage Press. I don't know if they're still in business because it's been a while back. Just so happened I was going through some of my papers, and I found a folder with their information in it, and iUniverse is another one. And when I sat down and actually read the contract, and I was appalled that I kept on, I was eventually giving my rights of my book over to this company. And for the amount that they were charging me to publish my book was way over what I wanted to be charged. And like Kellyanna said earlier, with this online company, Lulu and all those, you have control over everything that goes in your book, how much it's going to cost you, and everything. And I'm very pleased with Lulu because they've done me very well. I don't know if anybody else has had anything bad happen with them, with Lulu, but as far as what I don't do is, and I kind of help people out with letting them know, don't order any of these packages, the packages with the ISBN number in it and all these different things. Just get the simple thing. I have all the things I need. I just want to upload it, and I want to sell it. Don't get into all these different packages. Maybe it works for some people, but if you don't understand what you're doing, then you will get caught up. But what I've done, what I have noticed, they're doing a pilot program with Lulu with Amazon, and I've noticed that my book is on Amazon, but the picture of my book is not on there. I did see the name of my book. So they're trying to work something out. I don't know how long the pilot program is going on and if Amazon is picking up the company as far as they made a deal with Lulu to sell their books through Amazon. And where's my cut? Because I'm also in that, and I want to know if I'm going to get something from that if they're selling my book, and they're doing it as quote-unquote pilot program. I haven't got that answer yet. But you just have to know what you're doing. You have to read the fine print. You have to make sure your stuff is formatted. And that's a very important thing because one of my books, when I was uploading it and after I had it printed out, when you do, so what I usually do is I do, when I send out for an initial copy, it's not, I know it's not going to be the perfect, it'll be my draft. And I see where I've messed up at, or I see how I formatted it. So you have to be careful with the formatting. If you read, when you go on those websites to do your books, make sure you read everything and your understanding. If you don't understand it, get with someone who does understand it. Call the company because the website is there. They'll let you, they'll help you and show you how to do things. They have online chat that you can talk to people, or you can call them on the phone. I worry about that because when I'm writing and I'm having a project put on there and I can't contact somebody, that makes me angry. And I'm getting these answer machines and talking to these answering messaging companies, and it irritates me because I'm in the middle of trying to make sure that everything I'm doing is correct on my end before I really do upload it. So I've learned to be patient and to do what I have to do, but I just want you guys to be very careful with these companies, with these packages, and how they can really do this for you. Because it's nothing worse than spending $500 or $600 on a book and it doesn't sell. I'd rather spend $20 or $30 on a book opposed to it not selling, knowing I didn't lose too much, opposed to having $500 or $600 on a book and I don't get anything out the deal. And you've already sold your rights over to them, and whatever you get is a percentage less than what they're getting. So I have a problem with that. All companies have to make money. I mean, even with Lulu, they have to make their money. This is not about print on demand and printing my book up. Their money has to come some kind of way other than just printing. You know, they have to motivate. They have to be able to make their money too. But I like them because they're reasonable, and it doesn't cost me a lot to order my books from them in order for me to do a resale on them. So I mean, I love it, and I wouldn't change it for the world, my whole thing with Lulu. Let's see. When you're doing your own book, it's good to get someone, if you're a beginner in writing, get someone else to read your book. See what other people's opinions about it. I, for instance, wrote in another book that I'm going to get published. I wrote a book called Pen Names Can Be Evil. And I thought it was a great book, and I had somebody read it for me. And they just outright said they didn't like it. I was kind of hurt, because that was my initial, because I thought I busted my tail on this book, and I know it's a good book. I know it in my spirit it was a good book, and I had somebody else read it and say, sweetie, you should do it. It's a good book. But this other person was not, and he writes, too. He's a writer, too. So when he gave me that, I was like, he'll never read it, write anything. He will never, ever read anything else I write. Never. You know, I was just really mad. But I realized my taste and his tastes were two different tastes. I just asked him to read it to see how he felt about it, opposed to how someone else felt about it. Somebody else said it was a good book. He said it wasn't. But me, knowing me, I'm going to get that book published, right? Because I love the whole plot. I love everything about it. And it was like one of my very first books that I really, really put everything I had into it. And I thought I produced something great. And for someone to tell you, no, it's not that great, it kind of crushed me. But I'm over it now because that was, two or three years ago. I just know now when I sit down and actually put it back together like I want it, it's going to be a great book. I try not to write large stories or big stories because I like it simple and to the point. Instead of dragging it all out, the plot all the way out to the end. It's so much fun when you just put it in all together, compact it, and get it out. But as long as the reader is enjoying what they read, that's another thing I wanted to say to you guys. Make sure you know the market. Know the market. Publishing is a very, very competitive, business. You know how many books are out there. You know, we'll never read all the books that are out there, but it's so many people out there trying to do what we do. It's finding your niche. And sometimes you have to sell your own stuff. Get you a box of books, do a book signing. You have Books A Million, you have Barnes & Nobles, you have all those kind of Amazons, you have all these different companies that will allow you, I said Amazon, Amazon is not, it's online. I meant to say like Barnes & Nobles, Books A Million, you have a store called Hastings. These stores will actually, will allow you to do a book signing. That's another way to move your books. Do a book signing, you know, if you want to advertise. But know your market. Know who would like to read your book. And make sure you write stuff that other people would be interested in other than you. Because we might make it, we might think it sounds great, but the other person has to like it too. And that's where sometimes we mess up at, is because we get so caught up on what we did, and we have to understand we have a whole market out there that we're trying to reach in order for us to make a sale. It's a hard business, and I'm so glad I have a full-time job. And I'm so glad that I have other things that I get involved with, because if I just dedicated my whole life to my books and I get disappointed if I don't sell any of my books, then I would be very upset. I would be upset about it. If you want to know any more information about these websites, I'll give them to you again. Lulu.com, createspace.com, and wordpress.com. Those are the areas, I mean, those are the websites and webs that I go to, and that so far, like I said, I've heard great things about them, and I use one of them myself personally. And so does Kaliana. She also uses a print-on-demand Lulu.com on her, with her books. I'm looking forward to next week. I don't know if anybody have been paying attention to a lot of stuff that's been going on in the news, particularly with our race issue. I know I'm changing the subject because I'm finished talking about books, but I want to talk a little bit about this since I've had the time to do it, about the race issues that are going on all across America. We're not picking up on all of them, but some of them are standing out. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the Crackle Barrel incident when the lady was talking. She told the man to, you know, be careful, my daughter's behind you. And he went slap crazy and beat her up real bad and kicked her and called her dirty names and derogatory names and racist names. I mean, this guy was 6'2". If I'm not mistaken, he was like 280 or 290. And this lady was nowhere near his size. And then he did it in front of her child. You know, what is this world coming to? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we that angry with everything that's going on? Me being an African American, I can't say I understand everybody else's pain because I don't. I only can understand my pain. I know what racism is. I'm not that old, but I know I've witnessed racism. I've been a victim of racism since I've been grown. And I know how a person feels when they're being called those names. I know it's bad, and some people are just like that, and there's nothing you can do to change them. It's like we have no rights, or other cultures have no rights. We have rights. We're here in America. We're not going anywhere. We're productive people. I don't sell drugs. I don't hang in the streets. I don't do clubs. A majority of the time, this is what I like to do, my radio show, my writing. I love helping people. I'm also, as you know, when I did my show, on women in the union. I'm union, you know. I'm for the veterans because I'm a veteran. So I don't think we should be going through all of this because for the sake that your color is different from mine. We all bleed red. And I never can understand why people feel the way they are. And it's so crazy when you're raising your children to be just like you. So it's a whole generation. But what I've done, I have noticed in this new generation is that they're not so, if it's not been pushed upon them, they don't automatically know to behave in a manner of being negative toward other cultures or other people. Excuse me. Or other races of people. It's different now. And I think maybe that's why the old heads, I call them old heads, the older generation is so angry because they can't understand why the kids nowadays are not caught up in that. You know, we need to move on, and we need to teach our children that it's all right to deal with other cultures. It's all right to be part of a whole nother scenario of life out there. So many other things we can get a hold to. So much more history that we know. Everything is not a black and white history. We have to understand there's all colors, there's all cultures that are out there that we're missing out on. And I refuse to just feel like that's the only thing I want to look at and that's the only thing I want to do is be around my people. I don't believe in that. I think we all should spread out and learn a lot from others. I really do. Everything doesn't have to be, oh, peaches and creams, yellow brick road, but at least know what another culture goes through when things get hard for them or when things are good for them. So we see if we kind of interact and be the same way they are. So that's what we need to focus on in making the world a better place for everybody. It's not only the president's job, it's everybody's job to pitch in and make things better. We need to stop this arguing. We need to stop doing all this extra stuff that we don't have to do, like with the town hall meetings and the health care plan. Okay, nobody else took on an ideal to try to fix that. Nobody did, okay? And now that we have somebody who's trying to work on it, it's going to cost us money. I mean, from what I read in the paper today, it's $950 billion. Okay. Maybe that's what it's going to take to fix a broken system. This system has been broke for years. It's going to take money to fix it. Oh, it's going to come out your paycheck. They're already taxing us as it is. Okay, what do you want? You can't have both. You either want to be taken care of or you don't. You can't have both. Your cake and eat it too. Somebody's got to give. Why should we have to give? I don't mind giving to the poor. I don't mind doing that if I have to take care of somebody, okay? I don't mind that, you know. We paying too much. My thing is, so what? I'm sorry. And I don't make probably more than most of these people. So what? It's money. It's money. And maybe I shouldn't have such a nonchalant attitude about it, but I do because I think we have bigger problems. We got world hunger. We have hungry kids go to bed every night here in the United States. Every night. And this is before the recession even started. You got kids that don't have clothes to wear to school or jackets. It's getting ready to become wintertime or jackets to wear. So I'm sorry. I just don't think the health care plan is such that much of a big deal. Somebody is trying to fix something. Why is everybody being so opposed to our system trying to be fixed? And the decision the person who's in charge is making. He is our commander in chief. I have to say that because I'm a veteran. I'm a veteran, I'm a federal worker, and I'm a union member. I have to say that because I know he backs us. So I can't have the attitude all these other people have. I can't. Yeah, I want our troops to come back out of Afghanistan. Yes, I want them to come out of Iraq, and I know they will. I've been there. I know. We have to come together so that everything can connect, so that everything can work out, where they can come home. If we fighting here and we got our troops fighting over there, what's the difference? We're fighting a president. We're fighting against somebody who's trying to make a difference for us. Why are we fighting him? Why? Everything he does is scrutinized. Why? I think people are so burnt out, they're so mad, and they're mad at the wrong person. I really believe that, because he hasn't been in office long enough to destroy what's already been destroyed. He hasn't even touched the surface of the mess that we have been in for the last past 12, 13, whatever many years. It's been a long time. He's trying to fix it. And if we keep getting these people opposed, everything he does, every idea he comes up with, you got these people that refuse to change. They don't care if they're affecting the rest of us, if they're making decisions that affect the rest of us. They don't care about that. It's because their opinion matters and nobody else's does. For instance, and it just really bothered me, they had a town hall meeting here in this area. And a young lady was talking, and they were so rude to her. And she was explaining to them how she felt about the health care plan, how she's for it. And they were saying, you need to go get a job. You need to do this. Little did they know, she was a college student, young college student. She was working, and she was living at home with her mother and father. She was helping herself the best way she knew how. She didn't get the respect that she should have gotten. They were very rude to her. And this is what they're dealing with these town hall meetings. And then this tea party. Where was this tea party 8 years ago? This is what amazes me, how I don't remember 8 years ago there was anything about a tea party. I don't remember that. Maybe it's me, but I don't remember that. I don't remember all the protesting that went on 8 years ago. So, or even not only just 8 years ago, In the past year, none of this was going on. But you have somebody in there who's determined to make a change, and they'll do it by anything necessary to make sure the change is done so that everybody can get the same equal amount. We're under the impression that some of us are better than the next, and it's really not true. And I don't see anything wrong with everything being equal across the board. I'm not saying if you're rich and you spend your money and you earned it that you should give it to me because I'm poor. I'm saying that if you're rich, you don't have to give me any of your money, but allow me to learn how you became rich. We don't want to even share our knowledge. We're scared to share our knowledge. And I don't mind telling people how to do things how to do them. I don't mind giving instructions or guidance to certain things. I don't mind doing it. I don't care what color you are. I don't mind doing it because that's what it's for. It's for me to grasp the knowledge and for me to pass it on. And we don't do that enough. We're too busy being mean and hateful toward each other. And you wonder why God is probably looking down at us like, what is going on here? We need to learn to start working together. That same glue that held us together during the election, it's like little by little it's starting to come apart. We didn't put enough glue on it. We didn't do something right. We're not there. And a lot of us are just sitting back, watching, not trying to change, not trying to do nothing, not trying to teach nobody nothing. We're just sitting back, watching. And then we got a complaint or two to come out. But you're not doing anything. You're not doing nothing in your community. You're not doing nothing in your schools. You're not doing anything. And I said this, and I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I told her, I said, during that speech, I said, when the whole situation about the speech came about, I said, I think the parents should have been responsible enough to tell the school whether or not their child could watch the speech. It shouldn't be the teachers making decisions for my child. If it was my child and all the classes didn't want to watch it, then you know what I would have done? I would have asked them to get me a TV or a monitor or a computer or whatever and put my child in a different room and allow them to watch it because that was a choice they wanted and it's a choice I wanted for my child. What was the big deal about them taking their kids out of school for a speech? That bothered me a lot. And to me, it just let me know that it's more going on than just opposing the president. There's a lot more going on. And we have to come out of this. America cannot grow with all of this animosity and this racism that's going on. It's not going to grow. It's not going to grow. And we need to watch it. We need to see it. We need to feel it. And we need to do something about it. It's up to us. Enough of my soapbox. I'm hoping everyone enjoyed my show tonight. Please, if you can, you can call me back. I got 5 more minutes to go. You can call me at 347-677-1749 for your opinions, your comments, your gripes, whatever. Anytime you can call me, and you know you can find me at Chocolate Bun. Sensible64@yahoo.com. IcyColor/Arzanda Cherry. You can find me on tag.com/Salita McCall. I'm also now on Facebook. I have a whole bunch of friends on there. You can find me at Facebook.com, and it's under Salita McCall. I know you like, she has all these different names. Well, I like to keep myself with all these different names, even though I can't remember. I would love for you to follow me on Twitter. Tweet me if you can. That's /AngelaDavis2 is what I call that one. Also on WordPress blog.com, AngelaDavis2. That's what they call me. They say I'm always trying to fight for something. Fairness something. So you can just hit me up on there, email me, send me something, give me some comments about my show. I thank you again. Tonight was a wonderful night. I enjoyed Kellyanna. I will be bringing her back again, especially when we start talking about our nonprofit organization that we'll eventually put in together. Let's see. Stay tuned next week for Planet 10, and as you've already done, you've had an opportunity to listen to his music so far. I hope you've liked it, and I hope you're going to enjoy our interview that we'll be doing next week. And I want to say thank you again. Have a great night, and I will see you next week. Enjoy the weekend. Don't do anything that you might regret. Good night, my Blog Talk listeners. Bye-bye.
believe.